Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, that's my silk shirt, man.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I figured since I'm going to be like Mike, I might as well dress like Mike, you know. I mean, I want to be like Mike. Pow, huh?
Just sit. So, see, something is wrong with you. You have a problem, and you should have yourself checked.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. This is the segment, especially and affectionately known as How to Get Away with Basketball, starring me, the host, Chip. Now, today's topic, pretty simple. We're just going to get right into it. We're talking NBA Finals. And, you know, this has been a highly contested, highly talked about, highly anticipated finals. Even though it's 3-0, Warriors, I think it has been more competitive than what the score, you know, generally says. And it's nothing to do with the Cavaliers' complimentary players. It's mostly to do with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. They literally almost beat these Warriors in that game 3 by themselves. Just playing that good. And I think that's a testament how good LeBron and Kyrie Irving really are. You know, no give credit to Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, etc. I mean, they got way more than that. Andre Iguodala, you know, sitting the bench as a former All-Star. It's just the, you know, the Cavs have been, they're not as consistent. They've been playing a lot of one-on-one ball, and that's what you're going to get with a team that plays team ball. You can look at the 2003 Los Angeles Lakers versus the Spurs that year. The Miami Heat 2014 versus the Spurs. And lots of other instances prior to that, before that, after that. You know, I just think it's a bad matchup for Cleveland right now as the Golden State Warriors and construct. But that is Cleveland's fault. Give credit to the fans too. They've helped. I don't know how many memes I've seen of the Warriors blowing a 3-1 lead. These Warriors, like Draymond said, right after that game 7, he called Kevin Durant. They knew they couldn't beat Cleveland anymore. The Cleveland basically won 3 games in a row, and they outplayed the Warriors in every single one of those games. And the Warriors didn't seem to have an answer for what Cleveland had with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. I mean, they won on a Kyrie Irving step-back 3-pointer. So, you know, they just wanted to prevent that from happening. I don't think that the Warriors boast any real clutch players, any scary clutch players when you just ultimately have to get a basket. They could get one-on-one and just get their own shot. Kevin Durant can do it, but he's not comfortable doing it, nor does he want to do that. You know, I think those days in the NBA are gone. You know, Kobe Bryant's a dinosaur. Kyrie Irving has it in him, but, you know, people, you see people hating on Kyrie all the time about that. Oh, he's not a real point guard, doesn't pass as much, but he's clutch, one of the best finishers in the game, and damn near unstoppable. You give me Kyrie Irving over any other team. My team is Los Angeles Lakers. You give me Kyrie Irving over anybody I got right now. So, you know, that's that. I just wanted to get to my point of this segment today. You know, talking to the chat, you know, reading the internet, watching the television. And I think I've seen a lot of comments, a couple made by some, a couple of my own friends too, that the Boston Celtics big three of Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce initially started the big three or the quote unquote super team era, which is, I mean, is really wildly incorrect. The only statement you can make out of that is that those Boston Celtics ultimately led to LeBron James doing what he did, and that part is true. That's where it started, with LeBron James and what he's doing now with leaving the Cavaliers the first time, joining Miami Heat, and leaving the Heat again to join the Cleveland Cavaliers. First of all, let's put it into some context. It's not the first time. These times are not the first times that we've had superstars, multiple stars on one team. We can point to the Houston Rockets, Scottie Pippen, Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, even though they were older, you know, Scottie Pippen going from the Bulls, he making his money now. He was still ring chasing, and Charles Barkley looking for his first ring unsuccessfully. We can talk about the 2004 Lakers, who, in a desperate attempt to keep their dynasty alive, signed free agents Karl Malone and Gary Payton in the offseason. After recruitment, if anybody remembers, of Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal, you know, made those calls. It's not like Shaquille O'Neal was friends with Karl Malone and Gary Payton like that. But he did see the opportunity that both of them were free agents and looking to try to get rings, though unsuccessfully, even though they made it to the NBA Finals. And a few other ones. Let's see, Clyde Drexler leaving the Portland Trail Blazers to join the Houston Rockets after Jordan left and successfully winning a ring after Houston had won their first. Just to be honest, like I said, I wanted to put in context. Clyde Drexler, when he left, had already faced Michael Jordan several times. In fact, there was a time where people were actually trying to say, you know, there's actually a rivalry there, Clyde Drexler and Michael Jordan. And skill-wise, you can make an argument. Clyde Drexler was one of the greatest players of all time. A career average of 47% in field goals, 20 points a game, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. He did spend, 11 years in the NBA playing for the Portland Trail Blazers, drafted from them before being traded to the Houston Rockets, whether the trade was his request or not. The Portland Trail Blazers in 1993 were not a very good team. They did have 39 wins and 29 losses. So, you know, you can say whatever you want to make some noise for sure. Hey, what's up? Kids is here messing up, throwing off my gang here. Got them with me today. It's okay. Anyway, to keep it simple, they're at the end of their career, and there's a complete difference between players going to teams at the end of their careers to try to ring chase than players in their prime leaving their respective teams after their first or second contract to take less money in order to win championships. And that's the fact of the matter with the current era. The comedian Michael Rapaport makes the joke of the skinny genification of the NBA. I'm not really a big fan of Michael Rapaport or anything. I just find the comment funny because it's a really good analogy when you think about pop culture and skinny jeans and how that's a change from the baggy jean, the baggy clothes era, which was looked upon as more manly than the skinny jean era. Same thing with this era of basketball superstars, where superstars are changing teams or leaving teams in free agency to join other teams, take less money in order to ring chase. A lot of players, current former fans, they don't see that as being manly enough or tough enough or difficult enough, worthy enough to call people, you know, the greatest, or to really give it as much credit as other players who actually went down that road and took their lumps on the head, such as Jordan with the Pistons in the 80s and the Lakers, you know, with the Celtics back and forth in the 80s. It's a real slippery slope, you know, but you just have to get the facts out. Let's start off with the 2007-2008 Boston Celtics. Formed in their first year, they won an NBA championship. Now, again, initially the comment I made was that a lot of people considering those that team to be the reason that superstars started or super teams started. I just want to point out some stats for you. The Seattle Supersonics, who were the team that traded
for or traded traded for Ray Allen. They actually traded Gary Payton for Ray Allen. Were 20 wins the year prior to him leaving. The Minnesota Timberwolves, 20 wins the season prior to leaving to the Boston Celtics, as well as the Boston Celtics themselves, who were, I think, about 30 wins. I'd have to double-check that. But, yeah, all three teams, all three players, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett were out of the playoffs the year prior to winning the championship in Boston. More context, Ray Allen was in his 11th season, Kevin Garnett in his 10th, Paul Pierce, I believe, was in his 10th as well. So it's not as if these players were getting together during their prime. Like, there were all-stars afterwards. Ray Allen had, two, three all-star appearances afterwards. Kevin Garnett himself had a couple, but mostly they did the bulk of their damage or their Hall of Fame worthy careers. They spent the most of it playing for their respective teams that drafted them and trying to struggle to get through. Minnesota in the West would have to contend with teams like the Los Angeles Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs, who we all know dominated the 2000s. Let's see, 5 NBA championships for the Lakers in the 2000s, 4 for the Spurs. It's unreal. I mean, how can you really compete that if anybody had a real reason to change teams or to try to go to a super team? It would have been Kevin Garnett, already collected an MVP, multiple all-stars as long as he wanted. He had already probably solidified himself as a superstar in the league and Hall of Fame worthy. It was just the ring that he needed to, you know, to cap it off, the icing on the cake. Now the players want the icing before the cake is baked, you know, and part of that is, I don't know, I want to say it's jealousy. You know, Magic Johnson won in his first NBA year, right? He replaced Kareem in the starting lineup in that game six, and was the center, basically played all five positions, the whole thing, and the only rookie to win MVP of the NBA Finals. It's, you know, that's probably that is the old NBA, though. The Lakers were in the Western Conference Finals the year prior and got the number one pick to select Magic Johnson. The NBA has done a good job through its collective bargaining agreements and its rules to try to create parity in the NBA. And that's what this is all about. It's about parity. It's about other fans, other arenas, other cities being competitive and being able to compete for a title. When Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder was a legitimate team, a legitimate threat for an NBA title every year since 2012, since their first appearance in the NBA Finals since 2012, with injuries to Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook derailing a couple of those years. But, like, people, this was no mistake. People legitimately saying the Thunder could win an NBA championship. I mean, we could toss out them letting go of Harden as one of the crucial factors into them maybe not being able to get over the hump. Because I got to think that if James Harden's in that series with the Oklahoma City Thunder up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors don't come out of that series winning. You know, that's to me, that's a foregone conclusion. If James Harden was there, the Thunder would have probably been maybe the NBA champions that year. However, it didn't happen, and all we can do is, you know, look backwards in retrospect. And that's all we're doing right now. But, you know, we want to lay the facts out first before we make any, you know, inferences or predictions or suggestions. Again, LeBron James in 2009, like I said, I think that he started this, you know, this era of players in their primes or while they're young, ring chasing, or as I said before, chasing the ice cream, the icing before, or the cherry before they get the cake. And almost literally, if you want to use it in figurative street terms, because LeBron James took less money to go to the Miami Heat instead of a max contract, and Kevin Durant accepted less money from the Golden State Warriors, less than what the Oklahoma City could have offered him, Oklahoma City Thunder could have offered him, and a couple of other teams, by the way. That is unprecedented. You know, like I said, Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was taking less money to play for the Chicago Bulls already. He never made over $2 million a season with the Chicago Bulls, and that was one of the reasons that the Bulls broke up. You know, Jordan was making $35 million a year. People forget that the year 1999 or 90, yeah, when or 97, when Jordan left the NBA, the following year they had a lockout over the collective bargaining agreement. And one of the big things were max contracts, which Jordan was the first $30 million a year player. Jordan left the NBA early because of these things, because the Bulls were going to blow up everything. You know, people forget that those are important factors in why things happened the way that they did. You know, before when you know, LeBron James was making his decision, you know, prior to that, you didn't think you could get players of that caliber all together. You know, the suggestion that the Celtics were, you know, was kind of asinine because those players were traded for. You can get them. But you got to get lucky. You got to get through trades. The Los Angeles Lakers of the 80s, James Worthy, Magic Johnson, those are drafted. They signed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but it was before they even had those players. You know, that was the luck. They actually used the rules and the system to take advantage and to get the players that they need, to get those best players. Again, those are the GM, the teams acting as a team. LeBron James changed it. He made players place priority in themselves over the team. Even when Kevin Garnett accepted the trade or asked for the trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves, he made sure that he was asking the Minnesota Timberwolves to get something in return. You know, get something for me. Don't just, you know, dump me off or whatnot. I remember that specifically. Now, we can say whatever we want to say because eventually they turned that into Kevin Love, you know. So LeBron does have Kevin Garnett to thank for that anyway, because Kevin Love ended up being one of his great, you know, his partners to win the championship last year in Cleveland, right? But Kevin Love doesn't get drafted to the Minnesota Timberwolves if the Timberwolves still have Kevin Garnett, you know. One of the things I like to point out again is that Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were no slouches. They both, the previous year Chris Bosh wasn't in the NBA playoffs, but Dwayne Wade was legitimately in a seven-game series with the second seed Atlanta Hawks the year before, or the third seed Atlanta Hawks. Were they fourth seed? I might be wrong on the seeding, but they were legitimately in a seven-game series with them. Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat were actually pretty good, and they were fun to watch. They just tenders anymore at that point after the Dwayne Wade Shaq era. But they weren't slouches. They weren't bad teams. And LeBron James was on a 66-win Cleveland team, the number one seed in the East, who lost legitimately in six games to the Boston Celtics. The previous year, they had lost to the Orlando Magic, was it? Or no, the previous year, they had lost to the Celtics, and then they lost to the Magic, and then they lost to the Celtics again. So it's not as if he was playing. I mean, you could go down the roster and look at him and start name dropping, Zdrinis Ilgauskas, Mo Williams, Sam Brown, et cetera, and say he didn't have a good team. But this is the same team that won 66 games, legitimately. And everyone was touting this guy as the MVP and everything and the best player in basketball. And when you do that, you got to take certain things with it. You can't just complain and say, oh, he does everything for the team. He's the best. Nobody can do it like them. And then when he comes up short, oh, he can't do it by himself. I thought you just said he can. I thought you just said he was doing it. You know, if you want to be honest, Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double, you know, in a whole season. So it's not like things like what LeBron James was doing wasn't being done before. it's just statistically, you know, in the modern NBA where a couple of rule changes, the NBA draft lottery, the biggest one to me is the change from illegal defense, the zone defense. So the zone defense used to be illegal. So when Jordan went one-on-one, you had to play him one-on-one. There was no help defender. There was no playing center field like Kobe and LeBron did later in their careers. No, you have to play Jordan one-on-one. If you're going to double, you have to blatantly double, because if the refs catch your defense playing zone, they're shooting free throws. It's a technical foul, you're shooting a free throw. So you got to double. That is crucial. A lot of people don't understand that rule change actually affected NBA offenses. You know, it made it the competition committee wanted it easy to stop players from being more individuals and to encourage more team ball, ultimately to get fans more excited about the game. You know, they didn't want even the MVP, which Karl Malone won the MVP, which Jordan conceded, said it wasn't one of his best years, but he wasn't mad at it. Everybody knew that Jordan was the MVP that year. The competition committee was tired of seeing Jordan win the MVP every year. You know, they wanted to change that. So, it's more to basketball than just what goes on in the court. And if you can't see that, you kind of don't get the full effect of why players do what they do, why teams do what they do, and why the NBA is where it is today. That team that LeBron formed in Miami featured a young Dwayne Wade, a young Chris Bosh, and a young LeBron James. LeBron James, who's considered one of the top five players of all time now. Dwayne Wade, who for the longest time, even while Kobe was in it, was considered one of the top two guards, if not the top two guard, or at least number two. And he's probably going to go down as probably the third best shooting guard all time right now when he retires. I mean, who could argue anybody but Jordan, Kobe above them? You could argue a lot of people, but Dwayne Wade has the championships and he has the wins to prove it. He was a proven player already. And Chris Bosh, who was already an all-star, we can say enough about, you know, what he couldn't do individually with his team, but the same can be said for Pau Gasol, and everybody tries to overcredit what Pau Gasol did for the Los Angeles Lakers instead of trying to credit Kobe Bryant for helping Pau Gasol get recognized or his game be a little bit more freer and making him a champion. Players are, you know, they have egos, you know, so they listen to things. They watch things. LeBron James, he had a relationship with Charles Barkley, as did Dwayne Wade. He knows how Charles Barkley feels, one of the most critical of all of the, you know, former players. And he doesn't have a championship. And I think ultimately, if it was directly Charles Barkley, who's that? Who am I to say that was? Only LeBron would know that. You know, I can only make an inference at this point. I just think that LeBron James looked at all of the players who came before him, who went down as Hall of Famers or great players that didn't have championships and did not want to be that guy. He wanted to compete for a championship, and it didn't matter what he had to do to get it. And he also wanted to do it his way. He didn't want to sit around and wait for the Cavaliers to do it. You know, he put the fate of his career in his own hands, which I am totally for. I am not mad at that at all. But you got to give credit where credit is due. He started it. He started it making it cool for players to do that and not care and ring chase at an early age. That way they can do whatever they wanted later in their careers. Now he can lose the NBA Finals. He's still going to be one of the greatest players of all time. People always want to talk about him top five because he got three rings now. If LeBron doesn't have those two Miami rings and that one Cleveland ring last year, we're not talking about him being better than Jordan. We're not even talking about him being anywhere close to Kobe Bryant. Stats and all. Facts. Without those championships, everything he did in Cleveland prior to him leaving for Miami and coming back was meaningless until he won those championships. The championship, and that's partially our fault as fans because we use that. We use that as a measuring stick, you know, for our players. So we had a hand in this too. And LeBron James moving away to Miami and forcing his way out of Miami again to go back to Cleveland. He signed these couple of years. It's genius on his part. Him and his pals, his buddies who work as his agents. You know, that's, you know, it's a powerful thing that's going on in the NBA. And as a black man, I love it. I actually love what he's doing. But you can't get mad when other players start to do it. Kevin Durant is doing the exact same thing. I'm a fan. So as a fan, I don't like it. I would have rather to see LeBron James stay in Cleveland, because I honestly think, and I had that fear all along because I was a Kobe fan. I had that fear when he went to the finals against the Spurs. I'm like, man, he better not get a championship. And the Spurs swept him. I'm like, yes. I admit, I was hating. I was hating on him, not because I didn't want one for Cleveland, not because I didn't want LeBron to be successful. I was just being competitive with my favorite player versus another person's favorite player. You get what I'm saying? It was all in good sport. You know, it wasn't about any hating. You know, in sports, you want to see the best competition. You want to see things happen. If LeBron James would have played the Lakers in the NBA Finals and beat them, I'd have all kind of excuses, but I'd have to have respect for him because he beat my team. You know, and straight up, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers would have eventually won an NBA champ. I think they could have gotten it together without LeBron leaving. They wouldn't have had Kyrie Irving and got those bunch of number one picks if LeBron hadn't left. So LeBron actually played his hand very, very well, you know, to leave your 66-win team. They do nothing without you, so they clearly miss you no matter what they say. They end up getting a number one pick, three number one picks, Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and Kyrie Irving. One of those is gold. Another one, you trade for a proven player in Kevin Love, who ultimately gets you to two NBA Finals, three NBA Finals, three straight NBA Finals. That is unprecedented for Cleveland. Cleveland, who had only been to one NBA Finals, and that was with LeBron James in his first stint with the Cavaliers. That was crucial. That was critical for them. And LeBron James had a hand in that. So is he a better GM than a Cavaliers GM? Probably. But does that make every player the best GM? No. You know, I did not want to see Kevin Durant go to the Golden State Warriors, not because I didn't want to see KD win. I think he could have won with the Thunder. I just would rather have seen other teams win. I'm a Lakers fan. I hear it from people every year when I was young and Kobe and Shaq was together and I was, you know, just adolescence. We really start to watch basketball a lot more and really understand the game and come into your adulthood. I was spoiled. I got to see five championships by my favorite team, five of them, three in a row with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, and two later on in my college years. You know, it's terrible because you feel good, you know, your team won it all, but it's 31 other teams, 31 under fan bases that didn't, and they're mad. They're looking at you. They don't like you. They don't want you to win. They want to beat you. They're off season. They're thinking of who they can get, what they can do to beat you. It's the same thing that's going on. That's the same thing that happens every year in the NBA. Teams are going to try to get better to beat whoever was the champion. The Spurs and Lakers did it back and forth consistently. That 2003 team that the Lakers beat, I mean the Lakers lost to in the Spurs had constructed a team to beat the Lakers. You know, they already had the Tim Duncan, the centerpiece. They got the Manu Ginobili's and the Tony Parker, but they got guys like Steven Jackson to match up with Kobe Bryant. They got other players like Kevin Willis to play hard defense against Shaquille O'Neal. You know, it's what NBA teams do. So in response to the Cleveland Cavaliers coming back to a 3-1 deficit and everybody saying they can't stop LeBron leading all scorers, all like leading in five major statistical categories, I think for both teams, at least his team, all they had to go and get the second best player in the world to beat him. That's probably the only way you can beat them. But can you be mad at them for wanting to win? Isn't that what the Cleveland Cavaliers tried to do when they brought in Shaquille O'Neal, when they brought in Antoine Jameson unsuccessfully when they brought LeBron James back, when they traded Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love? Weren't they trying to get a championship? You didn't hear the East complaining about, oh, they want everybody. Oh, they got everybody. Oh, it's cheating. They got Deron Williams now. They're cheating. You know, Cavaliers fans are so spoiled. And we're going off air now, so I just want to thank everybody that's been listening. I'm going to keep on going. So as I was saying, it's a big circle, you know, and it's all in competition. Things are going to happen like this. Teams are going to try to get better and try to beat you, especially if you win it. If you're at the top, everybody coming for the crown. So don't get mad at Kevin Durant. LeBron James did it first. Kevin Durant just did it better. He just one-upped him. You may not have liked it, but a lot of people didn't like how LeBron James left Cleveland. You know, again, I just want the NBA to be competitive. That is my only gripe. As long as these NBA finals is competitive and out of this big four that Golden State is going to and crushing the Cavaliers, not only the Cavaliers come back next year to try to be better with more players, but I want to see the Indiana Pacers. I want to see the Atlanta Hawks try to get better. I do want to see if Dwight Howard can shoot some threes and make them. I want to see the rest of the West. This is the first time like this. Like, I've been a Western Conference fan all my life, man. I've never seen this type of domination, not even by my Lakers, the 15-1 Lakers, you know, who went through the NBA by storm. It wasn't like they got a whole bunch of players together. They had the same two players that they had since 1997, Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, who had just gotten better and used to playing with each other. Kobe Bryant was destroying those teams. He had like at least 6 40-point games in that playoffs. Derek Fisher was shooting lights out. Nobody's taking Derek Fisher. Nobody in the NBA would take Derek Fisher as they starting point guard back then. So I don't want to hear that was a super team. They just played really good. Big players, big time, great players do great things. If tout LeBron James as the best NBA player of all time, better than Michael Jordan, they can't offer up these type of excuses and this type of hate for another team. You know, just because other teams couldn't find a way to defeat Michael Jordan. Other teams couldn't find a different way to defeat Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was eventually defeated by his own, by time, by life. You know, he left after his father died the first time to go pursue basketball. You know, his own really losses when he tried to come back with 45 and the Magic beat him with his own player, Horace Grant. And then when he tried to come back with the Wizards, which was, you know, well past his prime. But again, he was stopped in 1998. By collective bargaining agreement, you know, by the knowledge that changes were about to come. You know, he got out at the right time. You know, as much as we give props to Jordan for being smart about that, we got to give LeBron James props for being smart about his business. But we give credit where credit is due. You know, he started this, and this year looked like KD finishing it. So, all else, that being said, you know, it's been a good day. Good listening to me with this episode of How to Get Away with Basketball. I'm a host, Suge, and I'm out. See you next time.